coming up on All Access.
Dang, almost 10 years ago, Monkey's Hallways is kind of crazy being back, seeing all the memories, all the good times.
2004, football, Jason McCourty. Oh, 2005, basketball, Jason McCourty.
Having another year with the same guys, the continuity, guys understanding the system a little bit more, just being able to go out and play confident, it's really helped us out a lot this year, and I think guys are playing well.
With Gronkowski, I think it's fair to say he has other people in his life that are helping him make those decisions and have more influence, and certainly I think they're a big part of this discussion.
Brady falls away with a play pick under pressure, and down he goes. Second sack for Cincinnati.
Every series we have one bad play. That's what's hurting us, one bad play in every series. We get beyond that, we'll be all right.
You're going to have to play 60 good minutes of football against New Orleans to, you know, to be able to beat them, and that's what it's going to take.
Patriots got pushed around, and because of that, find themselves at 4-1 on the year. Welcome to All Access, presented by GEICO. I'm Steve Burton. Tough to win when you only score 6 points, and that fact is highlighted this week as a high-scoring, undefeated New Orleans Saints come marching into town. They'll be a handful for sure. But before we preview the Saints, an inside look back at the disappointing loss to the Bengals.
The sounds of the game are brought to you by Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots.
Another top passing offense, fellas!
You okay, team?
Ben Jarvis cleaning out with a hole on the right side. Across the 30, out to the 35, and a first down.
We just got to be physical and use our hands with those linemen, okay? Look, if Ben Jarvis is in there, then I mean, obviously we're going to play action, but the theme of this game is going to be to run downhill inside.
Brady pulls away with a play fake under pressure, and down he goes. Second sack for Cincinnati.
Every series we have one bad play. That's what's hurting us, one bad play in every series. We get beyond that, we'll be all right.
Let's know who the back is, all right? Let's know who the back is. Alert on play action now, okay?
You know what to do, and I know what to do, so we found
it. On the roll toward the far side, Dalton throws out the move. Intercepted at the five. Picked off by Brandon Spikes.
I see you. I see you, James.
The snap on the spot, a swing of the right leg for the tie. The kick airborne to the uprights, and the kick is good.
Need your points, baby. Good drive, baby.
Got rid of the far side and got it away.
That's a nice job. Okay.
We got the game plan now. We just got to do a good job with it, okay?
This pass is complete to Marvin Jones, and that's a terrific throw. Dalton hands it off to Greenella, straight ahead, driving the legs, pushing the pile. He's into the end zone. Touchdown, Bengals.
We got to get off the field, man. Everybody got it? We got to do what we do. We got to do it better. We got to do it faster.
We got to play good technique, play with our hands, and tackle. Look, we've got the ball out a couple times. They just haven't given it to us. We got to keep pulling the ball out now, too.
On the ground. Not going to get there.
Hey, just stay within yourself. All right, just let the plays be. We'll make them happen.
Brady in the gun, takes the snap, retreats, sets up, steps up, lofts it, near corner. Ball's going to be batted away by Pac-Man Jones. On the deflection, Jones apparently able to collect the football for a game-sealing interception.
Hi, I'm Bob Soucy, the voice of the Patriots for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Since 2006, when Sean Payton was hired as the head coach of the Saints and Drew Brees was signed to be his quarterback, only one offense in the NFL has proved more prolific, that being the one led by Tom Brady for Bill Belichick here in New England. But the Patriots are coming off their first loss this season with their lowest scoring output in 7 years. So Sunday, if they're to upend the unbeaten Saints, these newest edition of Patriots will have to approach the standards of old. And that's the view from the booth. For Patriots All Access, I'm Bob Soucy.
Time now for Coffee with the Coach, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time now to talk to the coach. Coach Belichick joins me now. And, Coach, before we get into the big Saints game coming up on Sunday, talk a little bit about last week, your offense, offensive production. I know you guys were frustrated, heard the quarterback talk about it after the game. Is that sort of an anomaly when there's a game like that, you know, 1-for-12 on third down, or is there anything that you see starting to trend or some continuing problems that may be, you know, happening over and over again? What are you looking at?
No, it was kind of the reverse of the Atlanta game from the week before. You know, Atlanta, we were able to move the ball. We were pretty successful on third down in the red area. And then last week against Cincinnati, we had some good opportunities, some good field position. We just weren't able to get the ball in the end zone and as you said, convert on third down frequently enough. So, you know, it's not a good formula.
Yeah, and I know Danny Amendola back. I know he was somewhat limited, but three catches at the half seemed to help Tom in the offense a little bit. And I know number 87, Rob Gronkowski, he's going to be back sooner than later at some point. When that guy's back, does that open things up for you guys, red zone-wise, field-wise, everything? You know, somebody's got to take a look at him like you're going to look at Jimmy Graham this week.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see when that happens, how it goes, but you know, we'd like to have all our players healthy and on the field participating. The ones that are out there, though, we still have confidence in. And we just got to do a better job with whoever it is than we did last week in Cincinnati.
Complimentary defense. Your defense is really coming through, playing well through five games. You look at them, and even a guy like Aqib Talib, and a lot of people are talking about Talib because obviously because of the cover abilities. When he could cover and lock up a guy, does that open things up for you guys coverage-wise, or you could call some things maybe that you haven't called, you know, going back to last year or the year before?
Well, I think anytime you feel like, well, if your player doesn't need help, then you're able to give help somewhere else, or it gives you another guy that you could put into the rush and you know, get a little more pressure on the quarterback. So it sometimes gives some flexibility.
All right, Coach, thanks a lot. Coach will be back later in the show as we talk about the big game with the New Orleans Saints. More of All Access right after this.
Coming up on All Access.
Will he or won't he? We'll examine whether Gronk returns this week.
He knows how he feels. He knows his body better than anybody that's examining him knows his body.
But first, we'll explain what's behind Danny Amendola's love of the game of football.
You know, you're out there with your best friends, having fun, playing the game.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years. And by Gillette, the official shave of the Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots All Access is presented by Geico.
My city on, and my committee on. I got everybody looking at me.
What I love about football is the contact. You know, you're out there with your best friends, having fun, playing the game, and it's an exciting game for everybody, the fans, the players, and everybody involved. So that's what I love.
Throw down the middle for Amendola. Touchdown, Patriots!
What drew me to the game is, I would say, my family. My father's a football coach. My brother played football. He's older than me, and I kind of wanted to follow in their footsteps. And it's the only really thing I knew growing up. And, you know, that's really what drew me to football.
The catch is made by Amendola. Amendola makes the grab, and a first down
made by Amendola. Another first down reception for the Patriots.
My first football memory was when my mom, for Christmas, I got a Oilers. Growing up in Houston was the team, so I got an Oilers Hutch helmet, like the little plastic helmets and plastic shoulder pads and plastic jersey and pants, and I was that for Halloween for like 3 years, and it was just my favorite thing. I'd wear it, you know, Monday through Friday, weekends. You know, I'd wear it to church probably too.
Diary grab by Amendola! What a great catch, and he took a hard hit!
I always wanted to play any position that handled the ball, running back, quarterback, receiver, I didn't really. I like to score touchdowns. I like to catch the ball. I like to run with the ball. I wasn't too big of a defensive player. It's the ultimate team game. You just don't have a pitcher and a batter, or you're not hitting a golf ball or a tennis ball. You have 11 guys out there, working as one unit, and that's what makes it so fun.
Good to see Amendola return last week. Welcome back to All Access, presented by Geico. Amendola and the offense have a big challenge this week. Brian Lowe wonders if more reinforcements are on the way.
The Patriots can expect to win most games when their defense allows just 13 points, but not when their offense scores just 6. Not on the road against the Cincinnati Bengals, and probably not at home against the unbeaten New Orleans Saints, who visit Foxborough this Sunday. So the spotlight these days shines on the offense and what can be done to rebound from a touchdown-free outing.
Just continue to be productive, whatever we did to get us to 4-0. So whatever that is, we just need to get back to that.
The cast of banged-up characters has been lengthy this season, and Stephen Ridley was added to that list last week. The Pats did welcome Danny Amendola back to action in Cincinnati, and the hope is that number 80 can build off his four-catch performance as he comes off a groin injury. But what about number 87? Yes, we've asked the question before, and we'll ask it again. Is this the week Gronk makes his grand return?
Basically, nothing new. I mean, just working hard every week, working hard out of practice, and nothing's changed. We're day by day, like we've been from the very beginning.
I'm just kind of waiting like everyone else. So whenever it is, it is. I mean, we're 4-1. We won 4 games without him. If he's not there this week, we've got to try to go to 5-1 anyway. So hopefully when he does get back out there, we'll be more productive.
Much like it was too early to crown the Pats as Super Bowl champs after a rousing victory in Atlanta 2 weeks ago, it's too early to announce the demise of their offense now. What's most important is that progress is shown most weeks so that soon the offense is clicking while the injury report is dwindling.
Oh, that's the goal, without a doubt. We're out there practicing, running around, and trying to get on the same page, regardless of who it is, and we'll be ready, when our number's called, for sure.
The Saints are one of three remaining undefeated teams in the NFL, and even though the Patriots fell from the ranks of the unbeatens, they are still in first place in the AFC East. But what's looming after New Orleans? Back-to-back games against the two teams just behind them in the division. On the road against the 3-2 Jets, and then at home against the 3-2 Dolphins. At CBS Scene, I'm Brian Lowe for Patriots All Access.
All right, Brian Lowe, thank you very much. I'm joined now by Patriots defensive back Stephen Gregory. And obviously you guys are coming off the loss, but the defense played pretty well, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so. I think in the grand scheme of things, though, we just didn't make enough plays in the end to win the game. And, that's what you have to do in this league. You have to play for a full 60 minutes, make all the necessary plays in order to win football games. So we didn't do that, so we're at the grindstone this week, back to work, trying to get better and trying to focus on getting a win this week.
Obviously, you want to keep this team as a team. But when you look at the offense out there and you see the offense struggling, do you think that the defense as a unit has to play even better? Do you tell yourselves that?
Well, I think we just want to play sound and, try to create turnovers, give those guys good field position, give them as many opportunities as they can to score. And, if things are going a little bit rough on their side of the ball, we have to pick up the slack. That's fine. And, because sometimes it might be the other way around where, we might be struggling a little and those guys got to pick it up for us. So I think that's the ultimate challenge of being a team is having all three phases, special teams, offense, defense, working together in order to, achieve your goal, and that's win the football game.
So. The defensive backs, you guys feel like you're coming together?
We do. A lot of confidence
out there.
Definitely. Having another year with the same guys, the continuity, the ability to play with each other, guys understanding the system a little bit more, and just being able to go out and play confident, it's really helped us out a lot this year, and I think guys are playing well.
There was a game that you came up in and just stuck a player. Mm-hmm. I mean, just literally stuck him. I cringe when you got hit because you're not very big.
Right.
You know what game I'm talking about? You came up and had to fill the hole.
Right.
It was one-on-one, just you in the back.
Well, I think, at some point, in today's game and in the game of football, as a safety, that's something that you need to be able to do. You're involved in the run game.
Right.
And sometimes when those backs cut back to a gap that you're responsible for.
It's just you and him, though.
You need to be able to come up in there and make that play. And, yes, it's you and him. And, that's something that you got to be ready to do and get it done well. And I guess I did a good job on that play.
And you like to hit, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. You better like to hit if you're playing football. So it's something that we enjoy to do. And yeah, definitely.
All right, Steve.
All right.
Great job.
All right, thanks.
Good luck
a lot, man.
This weekend.
All right.
Stephen Gregory, our guest, will be back with more Patriots All Access right after this.
High School Coach of the Week, and we head up to Middlesex County to congratulate Arlington High School's John Dubzinski. The Spy Ponders improved to 5-0 after beating Belmont last week. Presenting the award is Patriots Hall of Fame linebacker Andre Tippett.
We just want to wish you guys continued success and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
The Patriots Charitable Foundation will donate $1,000 to the Arlington football program in the name of John Dubzinski.
Hi, I'm Christian Fourier with this week's edition of the SBLI Point-Counterpoint Debate. All right, the Pats have been inconsistent when it comes to running the football as of late. So the question is, can the Patriots run the ball when they need to?
It starts with getting healthy. Stephen Ridley needs to get back on the field. Brandon Bolden's knee needs to get better. It helped to have Shane Vereen out there, too. Oh, and one more thing. Don't get squeamish when a guy drops the ball.
I see the same Patriots running game I've seen for years. If the defense is soft, small, they can run on them. If not, if it's physical like the Jets in week two or last week in Cincinnati, this front struggles. It all depends on the defense. This offensive line not living up to their resume, not living up to their paychecks. They need to be better.
The answer is no. As an offensive line, you have to have the mentality when the other team, the defense, knows you're going to run the ball, you have to be able to jam it down their throats. After last week's performance and the inconsistency throughout the year, and the injuries by the running backs, I don't know if it's going to get any better, but they will keep trying. All right, I'm Christian Fourier with this week's edition of the SBLI Point Counterpoint Debate.
For the most compelling Patriots talk in season, listen to Patriots Football Weekly in Progress every Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 p.m.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Coach rejoins me now as we talk about the big game with the Saints. You look at this New Orleans Saint team, and I go back to, you know, preseason of last year. They were up here practicing, and I know they had a tough year last year with Sean being out. Sean's back, but you got that combination, like you and Tom Brady. You got Sean Payton, Drew Brees. When you have that coach-quarterback combo and they're seeing eye-to-eye in offense, it's pretty an unstoppable combination, isn't it, when they're grooving?
Yeah, well, they have a very good offensive football team. They're well-coached. They have, as you said, a good offensive coordinator, and Pete Carmichael, head coach, and Sean Payton, good quarterback in Brees, a lot of good skill players. They're experienced and they're talented, so they do a good job moving the ball. They know how to attack teams, and they've been very productive.
When you set up and you look at a team, you think, hey, this team does something well, so we're going to try and stop that or limit that and make somebody else beat us. When you start looking at the tight ends and wide receivers they have, sometimes you forget about the backs, and you got a guy like Sproles, you got Pierre Thomas that, oh, wow, we forgot about those guys.
Yeah, you can't forget about them. You just can't forget about them. They have a lot of production, and you know, Sproles has caught more passes in the last 2.5 years than any back in the league for more yards and more touchdowns, and Thomas is fourth. So, you know, they got two guys on the same team and are in the top four in receiving over the last couple of years out of the backfield. So that's a lot of production. You can't forget about them.
I know they had some issues as a team, had some guys out, but defensively, they were not good last year. Seems like they've really turned the corner. Is it scheme? Is it personnel? I mean, you had Rob Ryan on your staff prior to it. Is it Rob's, you know, presence just being there, the type of defense they play and how they're limiting people?
Well, they've done a good job. I think there are a lot of things that play into that. Of course, they're playing better on offense. They're ahead, and they've done a good job defensively as well. You know, they have a good experienced secondary, a good group of linebackers, and they can put pressure on the passer. Rob's got a scheme that changes a little bit from week to week based on how he matches up against the opponent, so some new looks there. But they do a good job all the way around. They're solid on offense, defense, and special teams, and You're going to have to play 60 good minutes of football against New Orleans to be able to beat them, and that's what it's going to take.
All right, Coach, got your hands full. Time now for the Ace Ticket Twitter question of the week, and it comes from Kay McGee. Says, you guys lost Vince Wilfork, obviously, but there's been three big trades that have happened here prior to the trade deadline. When that type of player goes down, does the phone ring a little bit more approaching a trade deadline? You guys went and got Tlaib last year. Does the phone ring a little bit more, she asks.
Well, I think the trades at this time of year, there has to be a motivation for a team to want to trade a player, whether it's contractual or younger players emerging and they can afford to trade a veteran player, whatever it happens to be. Otherwise, it's hard to want to trade players off your team that are healthy and producing well, because you're always looking for those. You never have enough [S2] Right. [S1] Of them, and every team's dealing with some kind of injuries or something at this time of year. So. Usually there has to be a circumstance that motivates a team to trade a player, and if that's in place, then you have trades. If it's not, then you don't have too many, and that's why you usually don't see too many. I think each of the players that have been traded over the last couple of weeks, there was a set of circumstances around that player why the team was willing to move them.
It's almost planets have to be aligned. It's almost a perfect situation.
Yeah, right, and that was the case with Akeem last year as well.
Good stuff. Good answer, Coach. If you want to ask the coach a question like Kay did, you got to follow us on Twitter, at Patriots, hashtag it, AskBB. We'll be back with the Bellustrator later in the show. What are we going to look at? A little bit of everything?
Yeah, a little firepower from the Saints. They got a lot of guys on offense, receivers, tight ends, backs, of course, quarterback that are very explosive.
All right, good stuff, Coach. We'll be back later in the show with the Bellustrator. But first, more of All Access right after this.
Coming up on All Access.
The McCourty twins team up to make a difference in people's lives.
It was a great time. We raised a lot of money to help sickle cell, and we look forward to keep tackling sickle cell.
And later, the Saints are marching in, and that's got Coach Bill Belichick concerned.
There's not really one guy you got to stop. They do a good job of involving everybody in the game, and they're all big-time threats.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Subway. What's trending at Subway? The Tuscan Chicken Melt $6 footlong special. Subway, eat fresh. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
From the pages of Patriots Football Weekly is this interesting fact. It took 17,500 cubic yards of concrete to construct Gillette Stadium's foundation, according to Patriots PR. That's enough to build a sidewalk from Foxborough to Boston on both sides of the street.
This player profile is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
The McCourty family has been truly blessed. Jason, who plays for the Titans, and his twin brother Devin are both defensive backs in the NFL. We spent some time this summer with the McCourtys in their home state of New Jersey as these sibling rivals teamed up to fight a disease that has hit close to home.
Damn, almost 10 years ago, walked these hallways as kind of crazy being back, seeing all the memories, all the good times.
I know, I'm pretty sure my name's throughout this whole building somewhere.
Yeah, a lot of overrated high school players.
I can't say the same for yourself, but we'll see. Crazy, man. Mommy, she really sacrificed a lot, sent us here, man. Private school, who would have thought?
I told her she didn't have to worry. I was going to make sure she had to pay for college. And I told her I was probably going to be a first-round draft pick. Well, she had to wait a while for you, huh?
Well, I tagged you along and brought you to college, so you took over from
there. It's all how you see it, right?
Yeah.
That was the whole reason we came here. We felt it was better academics, and we felt playing sports, we had a better chance for a college to recognize us and to get a full scholarship somewhere.
First team. All county, let's see. 2004, football, Jason McCourty. 2005, basketball, Jason McCourty.
Who would have thought? I got the short end of the stick again.
We get here.
Again.
Four jerseys hanging. First jersey you see, top left, mine, Tennessee Titans.
I know why. The school's in Jersey.
I heard there's a bunch maybe, of. I think there's Jets fans, so they're waiting to put. They're waiting to put my jersey.
Maybe yours is behind mine or something.
Being we beat you 34-13 last year, I don't think they would put your jersey in front of mine.
Only one team won the Super Bowl, and that was neither one of ours. So,
and you weren't even close.
It really doesn't matter. We all lost.
That's what all the losers say.
They graduate from the high school fields of New Jersey to 70,000-seat stadiums in the National Football League. As the brothers establish themselves professionally, their family and how they can help others using the platform as an NFL player is a priority.
Jason and myself, we always want to do something to give back, and we want to do it together no matter. We knew growing up, even if we want different teams or anything like that, we want to do it together. So, you know, we thought about our aunt in Florida, who battles with sickle cell, and we thought that would be great.
To have an aunt who suffers from it greatly, for her to smile and be proud of what we're doing means a lot.
To mint to the people, much is given, much is expected. So you don't have to always give back in money, but give back in time. There's a whole lot of ways you can do to give back to the community.
For me and Deb, our father passed away when we were 3. He had the trait. The true reason for doing it is just to bring money in. So no matter who's raising it, you know. I'm starting to feel bad. We start these contests and it's like, I don't know if it's meant for me to always win, but somehow he usually finishes second in all these contests. And I mean, this is no different. He's back there socializing. So as you all see, who the better twin is, that's me. Me and Jason, we competed. We had a nice fundraiser to see who could raise the most money. And it was Team D-Mac versus Team J-Mac. And I think they're tallying up all the votes now. But it was a great time. We raised a lot of money to help sickle cell. And we look forward to keep tackling sickle cell.
Time now for Turf, brought to you by Gillette. It's Fourier, it's Zoe. We got crazy week,
dude. Drew Brees.
Saints week. Ooh, Drew Brees. But he's got some weapons. Jimmy Graham, Meacham, Colson on the outside. Two little guys.
Yeah, two of the best receiving backs in the NFL, Darren Sproles, Pierre Thomas. You got to stop him. You got to slow him down.
Right, let's show you how you're going to do it. Here's the ball.
I'll just be right here. Come right here. Let's say Pierre Thomas is in the slot right here. Just forget about the ball. So the first thing you need to do is just slow him down. He comes off the field, off the line of scrimmage. Make sure you jam him as much as possible. Get him inside. If there's zone coverage, throw him into where his help. All you need to do is slow him down. Let the big four guys going to the quarterback get home, get some disruptiveness up on Drew Brees. Next thing is a slip screen, right? Darren Sproles, Pierre Thomas, couple steps forward, coming back, there's a quick pass. The key to this is recognizing it, first of all, and being physical enough to come right at him, get low, not allow him to get any yards after contact.
Open field tackling is going to be the most important thing in this game. There's going to be space, and that's what they're going to try and do, stretch out, take advantage of the mismatch, whether it's a tight end on a backer, whether it's a strong safety on a tight end, whether it's your fourth corner on Sproles, that should be a mismatch for the Saints.
Yeah, it's a lot of weapons. The Patriots have to do a great job getting off on third down and making it tough on Drew Brees.
We can do that.
Blair!
Thanks, guys. The Patriots are looking to rebound from their loss last week in Cincinnati with a win over the 5-0 Saints this Sunday at Gillette Stadium. I'm Jackie Britton, and here are the top storylines. As we enter another week of will he or won't he as it relates to Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski, the Patriots defense is focusing on another tight end, containing Saints Jimmy Graham. He's versatile and attracts a range of different coverages, and the entire Patriots defense will have to be prepared for anything. And who would have thought that two teams with elite quarterbacks would still be ranked near the very bottom in red zone offense? Well, the Patriots are 4-1, but they must improve in the red area, and they won't have a choice if they want a win over the Saints this Sunday. And with all the attention around the Saints offense, it's important not to overlook their defense. The Patriots know better, especially since Saints defensive coordinator is Rob Ryan, who spent 4 years with the Patriots as a linebacker coach and has the Super Bowl rings to prove it. That will do it for your storylines. Now let's move right along to our opponent news brought to you by Geico.
The opponent news is brought to you by Geico.
Sean Payton is back, and the Saints are one of three undefeated teams after 5 weeks. He has great fondness and respect for the man he'll be coaching against on Sunday.
He's been someone that I first got to know at the Pro Bowl in 06 when we both coached teams there. And he's been someone that certainly I look up to. You know, we've shared an opportunity to work for a Hall of Fame head coach. And so there's probably some things that are similar and yet a lot of things that would be different.
That's the conversation in New Orleans. Now let's see what the Patriots head coach thinks.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time now for the Bellastrator, brought to you by Putnam Investments. Your hands full this week with the Saints coach. What are we going to look at here?
Well, a lot of firepower here. This first play, we'll take a look at Kenny Stills in the seam, or as a slot receiver here, and he'll be going down the seam against the Falcons. See, Breeze hits him in stride. He's got a lot of speed. So
is it hard to get jams on guys when they spread them out the way they do?
Yeah, they do. And, of course, the receivers are quick, and they do a good job of avoiding them. So they got a good group of receivers, and as we'll see, a good group of tight ends and backs as well. All right, on this play, we have Colston in the slot. And once again, Breeze sees the single coverage, and Atlanta's trying to do something we probably won't do, is send the middle linebacker into the middle of the field there, and he just doesn't get deep enough, fast enough, and of course, Breeze puts it right on the money for an easy touchdown there to Colston. So it's not really one guy you got to stop. They do a good job of involving everybody in the game, and they're all big time threats.
Is it when you watch Breeze in the pocket, and specifically on film, when you even look at the end zone, does he do a good job moving his shoulders? Seems like the head's always moving. It's not like he really keys on one guy.
Yeah, he really does. He does an excellent job of controlling the deep field defenders and keeping them from getting to where he wants to throw the ball deep.
All right, Coach, just when you think it's wide receivers, it's tight ends, all of a sudden they have backs that they can flex outside.
Right, well, in this play, this is Sproles down here in an empty formation, and they're faking a tear screen to him, which, of course, is a very dangerous play. And it does just enough to freeze the Cardinal defenders here. And then Meacham's able to go down the seam and get a step on the defenders. And, of course, Breeze puts it right in there perfectly for fringe touchdown. They do a lot of that. They take shots into the end zone from around the 20 to 30 yard line, and score from way out.
All right, moving on here.
Well, this is Jimmy Graham, and he's had a very dynamic last month of the season. A lot of plays like this, seam routes, post patterns, some catch and run plays, but here he does a nice job of putting a move on the safety here and climbs into the secondary. Breeze lays it out there perfectly for a 50-yard touchdown. So with the receivers, the tight ends, certainly a lot of guys to try to defend.
Again, it just seems like you play these teams, it's difficult to get up in their face, but yet you don't want to sacrifice that free release where they just get up on your safeties.
No, exactly. You got to try to disrupt them, but once they get on top of you, then you can be vulnerable. And they'll take Sproles, as they do on this play, and stick him out of the backfield in an empty formation, or sometimes even run him out of the backfield. And here he is on a little move to the flat, and the safety bites on it. And then Sproles turns it up and is able to, again, get behind the defense for another huge play. So, we've seen him make big plays with their receivers, the tight ends, their backs, including Pierre Thomas. They had a pretty good arsenal there and a great guy throwing the ball in Drew Brees.
All right, Coach, as we said, if it's not Sproles, it's some other guy, and they have some other guy, don't they?
Right, it's Pierre Thomas, and here's a play against the Bears last week where Thomas is in the backfield, and he comes across the formation, and the Saints screen to him over here on the other side, so the defenders kind of get lost over here in this side of the pattern, and Thomas is able to slide back over there. There's the escort right down the numbers, and he's got pretty clear sailing. turns a screen pass, good run, breaks back, and turns that play into a 30-yard touchdown.
It's almost like a fast break. I know you got your hands full. Good luck getting back on track. I know you respect this franchise.
Thank you.
All right, Coach, there's your Bellustrator. More of All Access back right after this.
Hey, what's up? I'm Romeo.
And I'm Shauna. And this week in Pats Chat, we sit down with James Devlin.
Honestly, I think I like playing defense a little bit better.
Really?
That's right. Plus, LeGarrette Blount gets tilted. You don't want to miss it. Trust me.
All right, y'all keep putting me on the spot.
It's this Saturday morning at 10 on MyTV 38.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access and Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Time now for our panel discussion with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. And let's break this down for a little bit. How much of that loss was Tom Brady, and how much of it was it the rest of the offense and the offensive line, for that matter, not blocking it? Brady's the highest paid player on the team. How much blame pie does he get?
Yeah, I think he gets the biggest piece because of that. But this was, you're absolutely right, a total system breakdown. The offensive line, after playing so well in Atlanta, really did not match that kind of an effort against Cincinnati. Much different front. Give Cincinnati some credit for that. But to me, when you look at Tom Brady, all of the reasons that we talk about are all valid. He's really searching for a comfort level with all of these guys. Injuries have hurt. The newcomers have hurt. But I think he needs to be a little bit more accurate. There have been times I think that the throws have gotten away from him in a way that I don't think we're accustomed to. So I do give some of this to Tom Brady, and I think it would be wrong to just sort of dismiss it and say, well, it's all the rookie's fault. Yeah.
Bigger picture, people ask the question, how has Tom Brady played through the first five games of the season? Mm-hmm. I think he's obviously set a very high standard here in New England. I think it's also fair to say that based on that high standard, he hasn't met it through the first five games of the season, but I don't think he'll be their most pressing issue going forward. No. If it is, they're probably going to have a very good season.
You're right, Mike. Brady set such a high standard. Yeah. That we forget he's human.
Yeah, I mean, I think your point is well taken. I guess I'll go to the flip side, like the throw to Amendola, you know, at the goal line. If that throw is a little more accurate, it's a touchdown, and then they couldn't punch it in. So I think you could look at it from both ways. Certainly, it wasn't all on Brady in that game.
And I'm not putting
but
it
that's
all on
one. Him. No, mm-hmm. And no one is. And I mean, but that's one play right there that you can look at and say, if we see that trademark accuracy from Brady, maybe the result is a little bit.
There was another throw on a key 3rd and 10 that would have had him on the fringe of the red zone to Kembrell Tompkins. Originally, was ruled a catch, got overturned on replay. That was a low throw, low and away. Made it a much more difficult play. Could the ball have been caught? Absolutely. And I think, maybe a guy like Brandon Lloyd last year, who didn't seem to do anything that was easy, that's a catch he probably would have made last year, a difficult one. But to me, that's on Tom. I think he's got to put it in a better spot.
Does Gronk play this weekend against the Saints?
I'm going to say yes. I think that, the signs seem to be indicating that. But, I mean, we could sit here every week and flip a coin, and I'm sure I would have said yes two weeks ago as well.
I think, to me, the interesting part of this is this inner circle, if you will, that Gronkowski has and what influence they have over his decision. And
well, you're talking about the inner circle, and let's break that down. We're talking about his parents. We're talking about his agent,
right.
Drew Rosenhaus.
Right, and I understand it to a degree in the sense of, look at everything Gronkowski has been through. 5 surgeries since last November. If any of us had went through that, I think there's not just the physical aspect, the medical aspect of getting back out on the field, but how about the psychological aspect? I mean, you have to be ready to get back out on the field, and with Gronkowski, I think it's fair to say, unlike most other players, he has other people in his life that are helping him make those decisions and have more influence, and certainly I think they're a big part of this discussion.
Well, let me point this out. What if he was ready? What if he was ready 2 weeks ago, and that inner circle, so we call it, talked him out of it?
Listen, I mean, it's a hypothetical, and again, I think it's dangerous to try to, forecast what's going on with another guy's body, and I think it's easy for us to sit there and say, he needs to be tougher. He needs to be out there for his team. Well, maybe he just doesn't feel quite right. Maybe
well, he tried coming back.
Maybe
it's not like this guy didn't try coming back.
It didn't look right, remember?
And he's been practicing, too. Now, in this current time, he's been practicing. He knows how he feels. He knows his body better than anybody that's examining him knows his body. I don't know. I don't have all the information. I don't have all the facts, but I'm going to err on Mike's side here and say that I think there are other factors that could be involved that we don't know.
Prediction time.
I'm going to predict a favorite to win in an upset. How's that sound? I think the Patriots are going to squeak this one out 27-24.
Yeah, my head tells me pick the Saints. You know, being around the Patriots tells me that these guys, you know, are going to put forth a much better effort than we saw last week. I'm going to stay with the head, though, Steve. I'm going to go with the Saints 23-20.
So you think the Patriots will be 4-2 by the time this is all
That's
over?
That's right, and I will also tell you I've been wrong on my prediction the last 2 weeks, so there you go.
All right, Mike.
As have I.
Great job, guys.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, well, that will do it for this week's edition of Patriots All Access. For Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, I'm Steve Burton. Have a great week, everyone. See you later.